Hey, Jason here. Today's video, we're going to answer the question, is tech giant NVIDIA, stock ticker NVDA, a buy? This is a stock analysis for Ocean, who requested this on YouTube. Before we get to that, though, I need to let you know you can get this series as a podcast anywhere in the world for free on all major podcasting platforms, Stitcher, Anchor, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, and more. You can get this part of the I Love Value Investing podcast anywhere in the world for free. If you like this video here on YouTube and our other videos, make sure to subscribe, hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we release a new video, and release new videos all the time. Okay, see my other videos again. I apologize for this. I don't want to do this. I have to do this because every time I don't, I get nasty comments on YouTube. I do not short sell ever, so I don't benefit from any stock I talk negatively about. I also don't own any stock in a long position that I talk positively about. These videos are done to help you learn how to better and faster evaluate stocks so you can spend more time evaluating good-looking potential stocks and less time evaluating crap stocks. Because these videos are done at your request, I often also don't know what the company does. Today's video I do, but most of the time I do not. And I purposely keep it that way. Why? Why do I purposely keep it that way? Because I don't want what the company does to bias me in any way, either negatively or positively. This also means I don't, or at this stage of my analysis, I don't care about what the company does. I don't care about what the CEO says they're going to do. I don't care about how the CEO says they're going to transform the world. I don't care about any of that until far later in my analysis. Why should you listen to anything I have to say? In the first 9 years of my career, I produced average annual investment returns of 23.5% per year on average. That puts me just behind the great Warren Buffett in the first 9 years, or when compared to the first 9 years of his career, when he was at his Buffett Limited partnership, where he produced 24.2% average annual investment returns. In the first 9 years of my career, I've almost tripled the market, and my numbers legitimately make me one of the best stock pickers in the entire world over the last 9 years. I'm not saying any of this to brag. I'm saying this to prove to you that I actually know what I'm talking about a little bit. Okay, yeah, apologize for that. Don't want to do that. Have to do that. So let's get to the analysis. Again, we're covering NVIDIA today for Ocean. Ocean, as always, thanks so much for requesting these videos. Okay, again, I do know what NVIDIA does, but we'll wait to read the description down when we get to the description down there. First thing I notice here is their gigantic market cap. Again, I've known what this company does for years. I'm a lifelong gamer, so I know what this company does. Frankly, that gigantic of a market cap, I was very surprised when I pulled this up to see what their market cap is now. Because while I do know what they do, I haven't looked at their stock in a while. And whoa, this is why their stock is up so much. Their stock is up almost more than 6,500% in the last 10 years. So that is why their market cap is so gigantic. Why is their stock up so much? I'll get to that in a second because I noticed a couple other things up here. I don't care about price to sales at all. But this being at 24 is a massive sign the company is likely enormously overvalued. Another sign here is, again, I don't care about forward PE at all, but this being at 44.6 is another sign the company is probably gigantically overvalued. So what do they do? And why has their stock price skyrocketed so much? NVIDIA is a leading designer of graphics processing units that enhance the experience on computing platforms. The firm's chips are used in a variety of end markets, including high-end PCs for gaming, data centers, and automotive infotainment systems. In recent years, the firm has broadened its focus from traditional PC graphics applications such as gaming to more complex and favorable opportunities, including artificial intelligence and autonomous driving, which leverages the high-performance capabilities of the firm's graphics processing units. So, in layman's terms, what that means is NVIDIA makes graphics cards and chips for PCs, autonomous cars, stuff like that. Again, I've known about them for probably 20 plus years now because I, as a lifelong gamer, you either have to get typically, and me with a PC, it's been typically an NVIDIA graphics card to play higher end video games. So this is why I know what they've done for a long time. Okay. With this massive increase in gaming and autonomous driving and some of the other stuff they're working on now, their revenues have skyrocketed from just under 4 billion in 2012 to just under 22 billion in the trailing 12-month period. And I already know, just by looking at gross margin, which I frankly don't ever talk about in these videos, with their revenue going up over time and their gross margin going up at the same time, frankly, you rarely see that. When that happens, it means the company is keeping their costs under control and their profitability is going up. Again, you pretty much never see this. Anytime you do see this, it means the company is running very well. Management is doing an excellent job. Most of the time, what you see here is as revenue goes up, gross margin either stays stagnant or in most cases, the margin goes down because costs, again, for most companies, rise faster than revenues do. This is not the case here, which is a gigantic positive. Operating income, again, has skyrocketed for these reasons in 2012 from 648 million to 7.3 billion in the trailing 12-month period. And again, here's where them keeping their costs under control is fully illustrated, or another illustration of this. Since 2012, their operating margin has almost more than doubled, actually, from 16.2%, which is already fantastic. I look for anything above 10% on this number, to an enormous 33.4%. Again, I look for anything above 10% on a consistent base here. So this is the power of increasing revenues, skyrocketing revenues, actually, combined with not only controlling costs, but lowering cost as a percentage of revenue leads to massive increases in profit. When that happens, it increases enormously the value of the company. This is another reason its value has gone up, or its share price has gone up almost above 6,500% in the last decade because of this. This is what happens. Again, it's very rare that you see this, but this is what happens when you see this combination of things: revenue going up, costs staying under control or lowering as a percentage of revenue, profits skyrocketing, generally leads to share prices skyrocketing. They do pay a nominal dividend, which is frankly a little bit surprising as a tech company, but again, they're a gigantic company now, so they do pay dividends. Share price has gone up a little bit, or share count has gone up a little bit. Not a huge deal here, because it's not, it's less, it's what, about 60 million shares around there? And they have 2.5 billion shares outstanding, so it's not a huge amount of shares. Plus, this company is gigantic too. Share dilution is a big deal for most companies. It's not a big deal when you have a huge amount of shares outstanding in general, and it's also not a huge issue when the company is huge too. Share dilution is a massive problem for smaller companies. Sorry, I just hit the mic. It's a massive problem for smaller companies. Can be a bad problem for bigger companies, but in this case, it's minimal. Book value per share has gone up, skyrocketed, actually, just like everything else, from 2012 at $1.69 per share to $8.46 per share in the trailing 12-month period. This is a massive sign that the underlying intrinsic value of the company is going up, which I alluded to above with the operating profits going up and the share price going up. When this all happens, share prices skyrocket. So these are some of the signs to look for. When you see a company that is doing extremely well. Free cash flow has skyrocketed, which we'll talk about as well. Scroll down. ROICs, again, straight up, from 15.4% in 2012 to 26.2% in the trailing 12-month period. I look for anything above 10% on a consistent basis. So this is fantastic. They do have a decent amount of debt, I can tell with ROE here. Because ROE being higher than ROIC, ROEE is levered by ROIC, and that being at 40.4 compared to ROIC of 26.2 means the company has a decent amount of debt. The more debt the company has, the higher the ROE will be compared to the ROIC. Again, free cash flow to sales straight up as well, from an already fantastic 19.3% in 2012 to 30.4% in the trailing 12-month period. I look for anything above 5% on a consistent basis here. So this is, again, fantastic. What this shows is that for every $1 in sales the company has, it produces 30 cents, more than 30 cents in free cash flow. Again, that's important because free cash flow, the more free cash flow a company has, the more they can spend on R&D, acquisitions, improving the company, all that stuff. But because companies are valued based on the cash flows they produce over the long term, this also, again, increases the value of the company as well. They have a ton of cash on their balance sheet. 50.9% of their balance sheet is made up of cash, cash equivalents, and short-term investments. Intangibles, we'll take a look at that. I'm assuming there was some kind of acquisition, and probably multiple acquisitions over the years, but I'm assuming there's some kind of acquisition here in 2020 to 2021, because there's a huge jump from 3.9% intangibles making up the balance sheet to 24.1%. So I'm assuming there was some kind of acquisition here, and I think that might have been a company, another company I'm familiar with. If I'm thinking of the right company, we'll see about that in a second. Do have a little bit of short-term debt. They do have a decent amount of short-term, long-term debt. 28.3% of the balance sheet is made up of long-term debt. Again, we'll see the absolute amount here shortly. The quarterly, and there we go. So they have $5.6 billion in cash. Actually, 20, almost just under $20 billion cash, cash equivalents, and short-term investments. That's fantastic. Goodwill. They actually only have a small amount of goodwill, so we're not even going to really talk about intangibles at all. That's actually interesting. I'm actually surprised that number is not higher. Goodwill. For reasons I've talked about in other videos, but again, because it's not an issue here, we're not going to talk about it today. Their assets are exceptional. They have about $1 billion in short-term debt and capital leases. And actually, the long-term debt is minimal as well. Long-term debt is 11.6 million. Long-term debt, capital leases. So what this means is they have more cash than debt. That offers them or increases their margin of safety enormously, is what that does. Their balance sheet is ultra clean, not just super clean like I normally say, ultra clean. It's, yeah, not any really major, not any even minor negatives on the balance sheet. See the cash flow statement. Purchase of investments. So they did buy something in the last year. They bought $20 billion worth of investments. They sold $14 billion worth of investments. So NVIDIA, the buyout. Aha, that's what it was. I remembered that they bought something. They bought Arm, another chip making company, for $40 billion. And says we'll still get this done in 2022. NVIDIA buyout of Arm. Let's see if there's more updated news on this because this is old. They're working through the process as of August. As of September, still working through the news. So they are in the process of buying something. UK consider blocking. That's usually just they have to sell off something. That's not a big deal usually. So that's what they bought. Or that's what they're buying. These other things, I don't know necessarily what these are unless they're upfront payments for the acquisition of Arm. I'm not sure what these are because I'm not seeing any NVIDIA acquisition. Yeah, all I'm seeing is about Arm, and that, as of everything I'm seeing, is not closed yet. So I don't know what these other acquisitions are. Ski Technology is another one. So acquiring lots of companies with all the cash they produce. That is a, if you do a good job at that, that is a fantastic way to grow faster. They have issued some long-term debt in the last year. Again, not a huge shock, not a huge deal either, because they have more cash than debt still. They've issued about $5 million in stock in the last year. Other than that, their cash flow statement is incredibly clean as well. So at this stage, NVIDIA looks like a great potential investment. However, I'm assuming, based on the initial metrics that we've seen, and just knowing this tech arena right now and how crazy the valuations are here, I'm assuming that its valuation is absurdly high. So we're going to get to that now. And it is enormous, their valuation. It's not just high, it's enormous. And I'll tell you why in a second, or tell you why the real number here in a second. So again, I don't care about PE, price to cash flow, or forward PE really at all. But when I do, I want to see these under 20. NVIDIA's PE is 74.5. Its price to cash flow is 66.7. Its forward PE is 44.6. So these are all far above the 20 that I like for buying undervalued companies. Most important number down here, though, is enterprise value to EBIT. I look for anything below 8 to consider a stock undervalued. This is at 68.8, rounded up, which shows the company is enormously overvalued right now. So right now, while NVIDIA is a fantastic stock, again, with super high margins and growing margins in arenas that are going to continue growing rapidly, frankly, I would not, or I'm not going to continue researching this company further. Because let's say, because it's so overvalued, if this enterprise value to EBIT was, let's say, 15, I would consider still evaluating, because that would probably put it, or that would put it in the about fairly valued range at 68.7 or 68.8 rounded up. I will not continue doing research on this company because it's just so overvalued. I will, on occasion, buy companies when they're fairly valued. If they have fantastic margins, they have huge competitive advantages like NVIDIA does, I will consider that. I will never buy any overvalued stocks, though. And this is so overvalued that it's not, frankly, it's not even close. So I will not continue doing research on NVIDIA. However, this is a great analysis. It's great to see a, frankly, a great looking stock here. Most of the time we go through this and the stocks are, frankly, don't meet any of my criteria or most of my criteria. So it's pretty straightforward. This one met every single one of my criteria in terms of the numbers, but the valuation is just so overvalued. I just, in the portfolios I manage, I can't do it. So great analysis, recommendation as always, Ocean. Thank you so much for that. If I miss anything, if I should explain something better, if I didn't explain something well enough, let me know in the comments below. This just isn't just for Ocean. This is for anybody, because I want to help you learn how to value and evaluate stocks better and faster, so you can find better investments, spend less time investing or looking at crap investments. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Make sure to like, love, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. If you do subscribe, make sure to hit the notification bell so you're notified every time I release a new video, and release new videos all the time. If you listen to the podcast, again, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Make sure to do all that same stuff. But on the podcast, we would also really appreciate a review, because the more reviews, views, and listens we get on our content, the more people we can help. If you want me to look at a stock or analyze a stock like this for you, let me know in the comments below. Every video I've done for the last 4, 5, 6 months now, and every video for at least the next month or two, is requested by viewers. But it has to meet three criteria. It has to, what are those three criteria? It has to, or it can't be a bank, because I don't evaluate banks. It can't be an insurance company, because you actually have to dig into the 10-Ks, the annual reports, to evaluate those. And it also has to be producing revenue. Why does it have to be producing revenue? Because I did some analysis, quote unquote, videos of companies that were producing revenue, and frankly, they were pretty boring. Because at this stage, again, like I said at the beginning, if a company isn't producing revenue, or it has to be producing revenue, because I don't care about the company's story, I don't care about what the future massive transformational powers of the company are. I don't care what the CEO says. So at this stage, it has to be producing revenue. If it meets those two criteria, I'll look at any stock anywhere in the world for you. Frankly, I love doing these things. So please let me know. Seriously. If you want more help on how to become a better investor faster, make sure to check out our free resources below, including our 5 free gifts, which you can get the full preliminary analysis checklist for. That's a checklist. We did the visual version here, and we have some videos on the YouTube channel showing the full preliminary analysis checklist. You can get that entire template. You can get that entire worksheet for free at the links below. You can also get a free PDF copy of my book, How to Value Invest, and a free copy of our guide, 7 Tips to Picking Great Stocks and 3 Times You Must Sell. You can get all 3 of these free resources at the links below to help you become a better investor. If you're looking for a better or more specific help from me on how to become a better investor faster, make sure to check out the information for our newly relaunched masterclass below as well, Value Investing Masterclass below. In this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find stocks to better stocks to invest in faster. You'll learn everything I've learned in the last 15 plus years through the videos in the course, quizzes in the course. You'll also get access to live group trainings with the other students. We just did our first one last week. That was fantastic. You'll also get one-on-one access to me through free live one-on-one trainings with me if you're among the first 10 people to sign up. And you'll also get free access to our Value Investing Blueprint guide as well, which takes you through my exact process with resources, with explanations, with links on specifically, for example, where I find stocks, the specific links. You'll get that as a free resource as well as the first, if you're among the first 10 people to sign up. Love to have you. Love to have you join us. Love to help you reach your goals in terms of investing. And to find out more information about our masterclass, you can click the link below. But until next time, have a great day. Talk soon. Bye.